listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host of the most, Nikki Kolula. We're going to jump right into this episode. We have a very talented actor and singer all the way from India, Mr. Utsav Patel. How are you, Utsav?
I'm good. Thanks, Nikki. Yourself?
I'm good. I've been busy and running around all over town, but I'm now ready to just settle down and talk art, talk music, talk movies. What's been going on with you? How have you been?
Good. From the last time I spoke to you, a lot's been happening. I'm still writing my feature film that I told you about. I'm nearly done with my second song that I told you about. And awesome. I am getting geared up for my third song, which is going to be in English. That's my first ever song in English. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. A lot is going on.
So you've been writing a lot. So tell me, do you switch hats? You kind of get into the gear of like, writing screenplays and then writing songs? Like, do you kind of do both in the same kind of time period? How do you kind of create?
Well, luckily, the songs that I'm working on right now, I had written them a while back. So I'm not still focused on writing the songs right now, but more towards getting them produced and the next steps that happens after producing the song. So that's where I'm at with songs. But with the writing, my sole focus is on writing the short film, the feature film. Which I think I already spoke to you about the short that I made before, which is like the first 15-17 minutes of the feature that I envision it to be in. So my main focus is right now to make that done, and then I can start pre-production sometime this year. That I would love to. I mean, I'm being super positive here, but that's what I would love to do.
That's awesome. Well, let's go way back before we get into all of that. What was the moment Zen that made you want to be in the movies, or what made you want to be a writer, or made you want to write songs? What was the moment that you were either around family or watching a movie or listening to a song that made you want to do this?
I remember, I get this question a lot, like every time I go to a new acting studio or a new networking place where actors and directors are meeting up, and one of the questions that comes up is, why do you want to be an actor? And I cannot give you a solid answer, but I mean, all I can tell you is that ever since I got to an age where I knew what I wanted to be, I wanted to be an actor. Like, there's nothing else that I have ever wanted to be. So acting has always been on the paramount of everything that I do. Like, you, I write songs, I write movies, do whatever I do, but it's like all roads lead to Rome, which is acting in my case. So acting has always been the thing. I can't tell you why. It's just, I want to be an actor ever since I was a kid.
Did you take a theater class when you were a kid?
No. I never had a chance to do that. When I was a kid, I was born in 85, and back in 80s and 90s, India was a lot different to what it is right now. So kids never had a chance to go to acting classes, at least the city that I used to come from. So I still remember telling my parents that I want to be an actor, which was at the age of 16, 17. And I was told to focus on the studies first and then follow the heart. So, but there was theater around where I came from. But there was nothing like acting studios, acting classes, nothing like that. So for me, the first time that I ever had a chance to act was when I went to my family had migrated to New Zealand when I was 18, and I enrolled myself in school in a high school in New Zealand. So when I went to the school to enroll myself, they asked me, what do you want to be? Now, I said, well, what classes do you want to do? And I was like, what do you mean? What classes I want to do? Isn't there a set curriculum?
Right.
Because that's how it's always been.
Right.
And they gave me a sheet of paper where I saw all these classes, and one of them was dance and drama. So long story short, I was asking the person, my dean, like what classes I had to do to become a doctor, because that's what my dad is, and that's what I was asked to do. And the dean was like, you have to do physics, chemistry, English, math, biology. And as you were saying this, I looked at this thing on that list of paper, and I saw dance and drama, and I was like, you know what? Fuck chemistry. I'm doing dance and drama. So that was the first ever chance that I had to do any kind of acting on stage. And after that, many, many years later, I joined this community theater back in Auckland, New Zealand. And that's how the journey begins in acting.
I told you that I played in Auckland. I played in a
Yeah.
club that was, it used to be a strip club. And
Which one?
I can't remember the name of it. I have to think of it because it was about maybe 15 years ago. But man, it was such a fun gig because it was a club, but it used to be a
Yeah.
strip club. And I think I played right near where all the strippers used to dance. And it was just like this little club, but they turned it from a strip club into a music club. So that's my memory of Auckland. I love Auckland for that reason.
The two most famous strip clubs of Auckland has been actually three, I should say, is Showgirls, Mermaids, and White House. Do you think if it was any of these?
I don't know if I'll have to look it up because I have it on my newsletter from years ago. So if
Okay.
I look up
Okay.
the dates, I'll tell you the name of the club because I
Sounds
know that
good. Sounds
my friend
good.
Brad Carter, who now lives here, he's the one that booked me there. So I have so much love for New Zealand because I played in Queenstown and Auckland, and
I remember you telling me that.
I love New Zealand. So I love that New Zealand gave you this opportunity to study acting. Did they start kind of like giving you like Uta Hagen's book, Respect for Acting, or did they teach you anything about Meisner, any of that?
No, so I kind of deep dived into it really, because I mean the school, the first class I had in acting, I mean it was a bad start, I should say, because the teacher in the school, she passed away because of an epileptic attack.
Oh, wow.
So we had a new teacher, like a new sub coming in, but the students were not really like, like the 12th graders, like they were really being rebellious towards the teacher. That was a really bad experience in terms of the introduction of acting, because we didn't really get to do much.
Right.
And then in terms of the community theater, like it was very much into like they would teach you everything, but like there is no one set way. So then I was trying out these different workshops that were going on in Auckland. I did Chekhov, I did Stanislavski, and then I also did Ivana Chabot. In fact, Ivana Chabot was the first ever workshop that I had done back in Auckland. And I was hopping around from one to the another, trying to figure out my own method. And as I was doing this, is when I also decided to write films and make short films. And then eventually, I became an engineer while I was doing all of these things. And I was working as an engineer too. But I was more like an engineer in the morning or during the daytime, and aspiring actor in the nighttime. So at some point, I decided to stop working as an engineer and pursue acting and filmmaking as a full-time thing.
That's a
And
big
that's
leap.
when I decided, tell me about it. And I couldn't have done it in a worse time.
Right.
I did it right in the
Pandemic?
midst of pandemic. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's
Yeah.
great. But I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like you either have to jump and leap and the net will appear, or sink or swim, basically. It's
Exactly.
Those are your options. You know, it's like figure it out or don't figure it out. Sink or swim in all matters. And it's like, but you only have one life to live, and that you want to live it with no regrets. And if you had stuck with engineering and never tried acting, you'd probably have a lot of regrets that you never tried doing it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one thing I never wanted for myself.
Yeah, it's tough. Nobody ever talks about that, but that leap to being an artist is probably the hardest. I remember quitting my job to like just do music full time, and it was probably the hardest year of doing it, because you really are paddling the hardest to just stay afloat. And it's like I forget that hustle sometimes, but yet I never forget it, because I'm always thinking about hustling, and I'm sure you are always hustling. Tell me what that experience is like to just, now you're in a new country trying to be an actor and trying to get projects moving. Tell me what that hustle and that grind is like for you on the daily.
Absolutely. So when I came to US, I came here as a student. I enrolled myself into a two-year program at the Lee Strasberg Institute. And I started that in July 2023, and I've just finished that in December 2024. So day in, day out, I was going to school. But at the same time, there's always this thing at the back of your mind that what happens once you're done with the school. And you're always thinking about that next thing, about what's going to come through after that. So one of the reasons why I came here as a student, I should tell you that, is because, I mean, I never had a formal qualification in acting. I did this number of workshops and everything, but I thought maybe it's a great idea to have that under my belt as well while I'm trying to become an actor. Right. I mean, it's never going to hurt me, you know? It's always going to be one of those things that's going to help me in the future.
Well, it's like getting a foundation of technique. It's like once you have things, it's just you can leapfrog into anything, you know? It's like,
yeah,
you have to have foundation on something.
Yeah, so even though I was working as a community theater artist, I was doing short films and whatever I was doing back home. I wanted that training, that solid training, which the school gave me here.
Do they push method acting, or do they kind of, you know, there's two schools basically. Like, did they push one like train of thought over the other, or do they kind of show you both and kind of let each one of you decide what works best?
Lee Strasberg is method acting. It's the mecca of method acting. So the only thing we learned over there is method acting. Right. Yeah. But the idea of method acting is a lot different to what people have this perceived notion of. It's not what I suppose the infamous example of method acting, of what people hate to listen to, is what Jared Leto did for his preparation as Joker. And people sometimes refer to that as method acting, but that's not really it. So,
interesting.
But going back to your question, we did train in method acting, and just to elaborate a little further on that, that every teacher that I had in the school had their own method.
Right.
So the idea of method acting is to come up with your own method. Like, yes, we do use a lot of sensory and relaxation and all those things, but at the end of the day, whatever works for you is your method, and that's why it's called method acting.
That's interesting, because, you know, I did a lot of theater when I was younger, and I did a lot of plays, and I did a lot of musical theater, and one thing that I loved about acting was it just took you to a total escapism to become that character. And kind of like really get into this mode of being that on stage, or, you know, whether it's like on a tape or a film or, you know, in any capacity.
Anywhere.
Yeah. And it's like, there's a certain level of like channeling. You're channeling and tapping into some emotion or some part of a character or an entire character to just
be
in that mindset. Tell me how that experience was transformative for you, either learning the process or going through the process and coming out of the process of going to school for it.
I So here's the thing, like, because I had done Ivan Achebok as my first ever method that I got introduced to. And surprisingly, I feel like there is a lot of similarity between Ivan Achebok's method and Lee Strasberg's method. So when I was looking for what course should I do, I was already drawn to Lee Strasberg because it kind of felt aligned to what I was doing.
Right.
So, I mean, a lot of these things, like how you just said, like how we tap into our emotions and all those things, it's a very, for me at least, it's a very meditative process. Like you really figure out what the scene needs and what's the emotion behind it, and what is it that the character is trying to say. And then really, it's either done in two ways. It's either done into tapping into your emotional memory, which is something that's happened in the past, or you can imagine that this is happening. Like you can, you know, how like you fake it till you believe it.
Right.
So you in your mind you fake it till the point that you start believing that this is happening to you, and you really trust it. So it's a very meditative process that an actor, not just me, but I suppose any actor would go through. And then to come out of it is, I mean, for me, what I always tell people is, once I'm done with the shoot, at the end of the night, I would like to go to the bar and just decompress, whether it's with people, with cast and crew, or by myself. But that's how I like to take some time off and just decompress myself.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a, like, I guess it's like almost like a vacuum. You can get caught in the character or the emotional distress of the situations that you're in the character's, like, mindset or whatever, that you need time to kind of unwind from the, like, being in that place. Is there a character or is there a role that you kind of feel like has been jarring like that, where you just really needed even more time than just going to the bar, just to kind of like release that, the anguish of it?
I'll say two characters that I've done so far. One is, like I said, when I was doing the community theater, one of the plays we had done was A Fine Balance. And it's a play that's written by this excellent writer called Rohinton Mistry. And the plot is, the, I don't know if you remember, but in India in the 80s, there was this emergency that happened when the prime minister took control of the entire country.
Right.
And suddenly from democratic to country, it became like a communist country for a while.
Right.
So the plot of the backdrop is that's what the backdrop of the story is. One of the characters that the story has is this guy who is this guy who, like, he goes on the street and he does shows with a monkey and a dog, and the name of the character is Monkey Man. So and the guy is kind of like, he's very like, he's not quite balanced up here. He's somewhat neurotic in a sense that you don't know what he's going to do. So, and he can get quite aggressive. He can get quite emotional. He can go in any direction. So I remember, like, when I was doing this particular part, and I think we might have went on for like 2 weeks, maybe. And every night I had to really channel into this some kind of a dark side, because by the end of the show, I end up killing my dog. And I, from memory, I think I had a niece as well, but then something happens to niece too. So yeah, like it was a very dark character, who was spiraling down by every single beat. That, and then I did the short film called Crossroads, where, it's something that starts off as a date night, and then, things goes wrong, or something that happens, and it comes to a quick end to a romantic night. But the swift change of what happens. So we shot that thing in two nights, by the way, from 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. And at 5 a.m. when I finished it, I was not just acting in it. I was also producing and directing it, by the way. So by the time I was done with it, I was completely drained out of it.
Right.
But it was fun.
Well, let's play a little clip of that. We're going to play a little clip of your short film, Crossroads. Here we go.
Sure. Thank you.
Sun of rain, pretty lady, you got me tight, crazy, yeah, I do it again, you got my faith. I got to play. It's always you. Come, sun or rain. Pretty lady, you got me tight. Is it crazy? I do it again. Lady, hey, hey, just call my name. Oh, you got me too.
Hey. Cassie, how was your time?
Just the same. You know how life is these days. Then my office got calm, I have kukurka, kaopio, video call with parents, and before you know it, it's time for bed.
Nothing.
So, how was your day?
Long. Really long.
So here's the bathroom if you need it. And this is my...
Taj Mahal.
Taj Mahal. Already Madala.
I meant Sheesh Mahal.
Sheesh Mahal with just one mirror?
Okay, fine. What is it then? Your hooch, crib, condo?
Let's just say that this is my space where I can totally be myself. Yeah.
I'm happy that you can. You know what? Nothing. Don't worry.
That was awesome. So tell me what you were getting into the moment of like you and the character kind of having kind of affections for each other. Tell me like where it's starting to go and what made you come up with this?
So the premise of the film is that Kabir is who's a singer-songwriter, he ends up falling in love with Kavya, who's a mid-30s, a married woman, and they both head over heels for each other, but they have this relationship form around the COVID lockdown when Kavya's husband's back home, and that's where the rest of the story unfolds. So if you were to watch this further on, you would see that Kavya's husband calls her to say that he's coming back since the lockdowns are over and that he can come back now. And that's when the story takes a U-turn.
And what inspired it? Were you in it? Was this autobiographical? Was it just a story, a story you just kind of came up with? Tell me, what was the inspiration behind it?
It was multiple things. Like I've seen a number of international students who've come to New Zealand have relationships and some work and some don't work. So I think a seed that was always in my mind that, because I've seen so many of them who would fall in love and then they would go back home for whatever reason, you know? So I think the spark of that idea was probably somewhere from there. And then I wrote this while I was stuck in the pandemic. So I think the pandemic has had some kind of an inspiration as well. And I think the other reason is that I've always wanted to have a story like this where, whether I've succeeded or not, but I kind of want a story that feels very much like Lost in Translation meets In the Mood for Love. And that is for South Asian people, which is not just in Hindi, but it's more like more bilingual, so that it's not just for India or it's not just for US, it caters to the rest of the world. And it's and the feeling is, again, when two lonely souls meet and they end up falling in love, it's a universal thing, you know. It's nothing to do with one country, and I think I was trying to go more so in that direction.
Did you kind of draw inspiration from Bollywood a little bit, like in, like you said, Lost in Translation, but you're drawing from Bollywood also, like, you know, do you kind of see that theater is, I mean, films and stories are a little bit different in the Bollywood spectrum versus the American film spectrum? And where do you kind of push and pull from most?
I mean, Nikhil, I've seen Bollywood all my life. So I'm sure, like, even if I try not to use Bollywood, it's gonna seep into my ideas.
Right.
I having said that, I don't want this film to be a typical Bollywood masala film, because no matter how much I like them, or how much I used to like them, I should say, I don't enjoy that. I mean, it will be a lie if I say I don't enjoy them, but I do appreciate the films that are made here in US a little bit more, maybe. I mean, if that's the right thing to say. Not, I wouldn't say all of the films, but if I was to just say, if I was to be black and white, I would say that. But the thing is, like I said, I've seen Bollywood films all my life. So, I mean, even though I don't want songs in my film, but I end up singing songs a cappella in this short film, you know? So I think what I don't like is when the story is going on and suddenly the hero and the heroine start singing song and they're suddenly in the Alps singing, you know, like as long as it's in the story and it makes sense, I'm all about it. So if in case, in fact, answering your question, I do have a Hindi song in my film. And in fact, that's the first, one of the first ever songs that I wrote long time back, I would say maybe 2009 or 10, that I ended up using in my film. And one of the first songs that I recorded after coming to USA.
Yeah, what's so, cool is, and I kind of feel the same. It's like, that's the one thing about Bollywood where they just, all the characters break out into song and dance. But the weird thing is, that's also one of the attractive things that people love about Bollywood, is that all these characters break out into song and dance. And it's like, it's the thing that I don't necessarily respond to, even though I'm like in music and, you know, that's my work. But it just feels fake. It feels very artificial. And
exactly.
I'm interested to see what your take is. Like, tell me how you feel about it and why you feel that way, because most people from India love Bollywood films and it's a huge amount of success and it's got a following and it's got a huge market, bigger than American film.
I love the songs. Don't get me wrong. Like, a lot of the Bollywood Hindi songs, I love them. Like, in fact, you would hear me singing in my bathroom if you were to come to my place while I'm having a shower. But what I don't like about these songs is if they break the story, like, right. you're in, and again, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was all into it when I was in India, and in fact, even after coming to New Zealand, I was all into it. I think that the shift has happened in the last 5 or 6 years that it started bothering me, and I can't really tell you why, but it's only in the 5 6 years that I'm like, I can't take this anymore. That there's this engaging story that's going on. I'm already into it, and suddenly the song comes out of nowhere, and it just bothers me for some reason now. Yeah. But if the song is part of the story, I mean, then it's all good, you know.
Well, it's weird. It's like, what's so interesting is, like, now Bollywood is hitting so many different countries' markets. It's like big in so many countries, not just India. And I don't know if it's because it's infectious because of the songs, because of the, you know, the dancing, because of the costumes. But what I love is when I see a Bollywood movie take from American film and kind of integrate it in how they write stories, tell stories, because then it's like, oh, okay, now it's like becoming a little bit more grounded, I think, in storytelling, which is what American film and what American cinema does. Are you more drawn to American cinema in general just because of the movies that you may have been exposed to when you moved to New Zealand, or even what you may have watched in India?
I would say things can change any time, but right now I'm drawn to more American cinema and foreign cinema as of now. Having said that, there are filmmakers in India who are not making the typical Bollywood films. Like, I don't know if you have seen films like Johnny Gadar or I forgot that name.
To be honest, I haven't seen a lot of Bollywood movies. I've seen some, and most of them lose my interest, but I have gone to some Indian film festivals and been blown away by some movies.
I mean, I'm sure. I mean, it's, again, the recent film that everyone knows about right now is All We Imagine Is Light.
Right.
Even though it's made by an Indian director, I doubt if it's a completely an Indian production. I would say that maybe it's a collaboration between Indian / British or Irish or something like that.
Yeah.
But if you would see these films, it will blow your mind away. Like, in fact, I saw that last year at some festival. So All We Imagine Is Light, Santosh, all these films, again, made by Indian filmmakers. It may or may not be an Indian production. I don't know. I'm not entirely sure of that yet. But again, I mean, I personally would like to make films like that, and personally would like to make films for the audience that caters to, whether that audience is in India or whether that is overseas. I don't know.
I love that. Well, let's delve a little bit into your songwriting too. Like, you wrote this song for the film. Did you write it in the thought that it would be in a movie, or did you write it separately?
I totally separately. In fact, when I wrote the song, I never even thought about I'll put it out somewhere. Because, like I said, I wrote it back in 2009 or 10. And back then, I loved singing, but I never thought about doing it or acting was my thing. But I never thought about myself as an actor, writer, director, or anything like that. Just acting is what I wanted to do. But I really used these songs is because of the story. Because my character is a singer-songwriter, and I thought, like, while I'm writing this character, I might as well use my own songs. And after the movie was done, one of the afterthought was that if I was to promote this film in a way where the songs and the film can complement somehow to each other, then it might make my life a little easier. I mean, I'm not a marketing expert, but that was just an afterthought. And that's how I ended up recording the song.
And is that the song we're going to showcase tonight?
Yeah. It's one of the songs. So
talk a little bit about it. So tell me, what was the inspiration behind it? What's the song about?
The song is it's a romantic song where the guy is so in the story he's writing the song for the girl who's kind of become his muse, and as he's writing the song, he in the film he doesn't sing the whole song, he just sings the first few lines, because the idea is that he's stuck with the song because he doesn't know which way is this relationship gonna go.
Right.
And the entire version of the song is something that in my mind that happens after they go separate ways. So it ends up becoming a kind of a tragic song where he's singing this, thinking about her.
What's the name of it? Let's play it, but I think you know the title better than I do.
The name's called Jis Jaan Ko Dekhti Hai Tu, as in, As a backstory, one of the things that I had in my mind was that the girl and the guy, when they were outside, they were at the beach, and the girl ends up praising the moon, and the guy tells her, "Well, the moon that you are praising is the moon that you look like," and that's the first couple of lines of the song.
Well, let's play it. Let's play it. Here it comes.
Yeah, please, thank you.
जिस चांद को देखती है तू उस चांद से देखती है तू जिस चांद से देखती है तू उस चांद को देख रहा मैं हूँ फिर भी न जाने क्यों मैं तन्हा हूँ पासा के दे जा सुकू मैं खो रहा हूँ जिस चांद को देखती है तू हो जल गया आसमां मेरे दे रहने से और जल रहा मैं यहां तेरी अनकही बातों से हो दर्द खोता है मेरा तेरा दर्द बांटने से और दर्द हो है यहां तेरे चुप चाप होने से चुप चाप क्यों रहना चाहे तू बेखबर मैं हूं सह ना सकूं जाने क्यों मैं तन्हा पासा के दे जा सुकून मैं खो रहा खो रहा
very cool, very cool. So why don't you translate? Can you have a translation of can you kind of translate the lyrics for a lot of our listeners that don't know the language? It's in Hindi, right? It's in Hindi.
It's in Hindi. It's in Hindi. If I was to translate the song, it's gonna sound cheesy as fuck.
We'll but, try.
Okay. Well, it like the couple of lines that I said. It what it means is that the moon that you're looking at is the moon that you look like, and the moon that you look like is the moon that I am looking at. So the idea is that she's somewhere else, I'm somewhere else, and I'm looking at the moon, and she's looking at the moon. In fact, the day that I have enough funds and enough resources to make the video of this song, that's what it's gonna be like. She's somewhere else, I'm somewhere else. We are both looking at the moon, and I'm singing this song for her. So I'm looking at this moon who looks like you, that looks like you. Yet I'm feeling so lonely.
That's cool. So it's like despair, but you're also kind of like projecting love and inspiration through nature, basically.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It's got that inner angst as well of being helpless and not being able to do anything. So there's this fire. In fact, in the song, I say that I have been looking at the moon constantly, and it feels like I'm going to set the moon on fire just through my gaze. And I think that's where I'm kind of expressing the angst about not being able to do anything when you can't be with the person, right. and it's out of your hands.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of anguish in that, you know.
In that. That's right. Yeah.
That's cool. So what's the you said you wrote a second song? Is it a continuation of that, or is it completely something different?
It is. It is in continuation of that. It may or may not be in the film, but it is in the similar thing. So this is the start of it, where he's expressing how he feels, and then the second song is kind of hitting the rock bottom, which is also in Hindi, by the way. And I think we spoke about this last time, that the production is done, but I'm still looking for someone to get the mixing and mastering to do. So I think eventually once that's done, I'll put it out as well.
That's cool. Do you have like, you know, this, you're wearing lots of hats. Do you have like a favorite hat that you wear, whether it's directing or acting? Is acting still number one? Or do you
acting still number one?
Okay, all right.
Hands down. Hands down. Acting is still number one. Like I said, all roads lead to Rome for me in this case, and they all lead to acting.
That's cool. And I'm sure, like, you know, just diversifying some of the, like, creative energy helps to kind of, like, not put so much pressure on one facet. You know, it's like you're trying different avenues to try and, you know, just be creative and stay positive and motivated. How has kind of like involving yourself with music enhanced your acting, or how has your acting enhanced your music?
But to be honest, at times you do feel like you're stretching yourself a little too thin, maybe at times, because it feels like there's so much that's going on. But I personally, the kind of person that I am, I cannot focus on one thing at all times.
Right.
So if I'm doing something and if I have a second idea, I have to pursue that at the same time. And because if I just do one thing at a time, I'm not going to go anywhere with that one thing. So the way I work is I do little by little, and that helps me. I think that keeps me satisfied in many ways. So because I never have I ever sat down to write a song. It's only that when I'm driving somewhere, or if I'm going somewhere, or if I'm sitting at a bar having a drink and a melody comes to my mind and I start writing to it. But never have I ever just told myself that, oh, today I'm going to write a song. And that's the same thing with script writing. And if you ask me to do that right now, I would have no idea how to do it. That's the thing. So I don't know if I've answered your question, but if it comes to me, I'll write it. If it's not coming to me, I won't write it. If that answers your question. But creatively, it keeps me in the whole scene of being creative, like because I at the end of the day, I love doing acting, songwriting, singing. Like, these are the things that I really enjoy doing it. So at the end of the day, whether I'm on set in front of a camera or not, it still keeps me satisfied with whatever I'm doing. And I think that's where it's healthy for me, because sometimes, I mean, I'm sure you know this from your own experience or from your friends' experiences, that when you're hustling in this industry, one thing that we all need is satisfaction in what we're doing. So sometimes you are satisfied with what we're doing in acting. Sometimes you are satisfied with what we're doing in singing. It's one or the other, but it keeps us going forward. And that's what helps me.
It's funny. It's like I did a lot of acting in my younger years. And
yeah.
I was always doing music. And the weird thing is, like, I now understand why a lot of, like, child actors and a lot of younger actors get into directing, because it's really feel like in control of telling a story in a really cool way. That's part of the reason that made me want to start this Sight and Sound YouTube series, because I wanted to direct it and control the aspects of the music and the directing. So it's like, it's completely my baby, and it's like I can kind of like make it exactly the way I want to. How did you feel like directing this short, or this, you know, like as you're writing it, how has directing helped you tell the story?
To be honest, I'd like to clarify that I never set out to be a director or a writer for a film. It just happened purely out of necessity that I wanted a certain kind of auditions for myself, and I never had them for myself. I had all these ideas that I wanted to pursue, but I was not getting those opportunities. So when I went to my director friends, writer friends, they were all either busy with doing what they were doing, or they didn't like my idea, just as simple as that. And as I was pursuing these kind of different avenues to try and get my things done, one of my friends just very simply told me that, why don't you write it? And I was like, I'm not a writer. And he said, well, you're not a writer until you start writing. And I think the way maybe he said it or something that something in that moment just got me going.
Yeah.
So for me, directing, writing, producing, it's all out of necessity, because while I'm not getting these roles from somewhere else, I don't want to sit and wait around for them to come to me. And that's where I'm at with all this. And the thing is, the more I'm doing it, the more I'm liking it, the more I'm enjoying it. You won't believe, but I was so close to enrolling myself into AFI's course for filmmaking this year. But then I looked at the fees and I was like, nah, it's not happening.
Yep, wait a minute. That's too much.
way too much. But that's the thing. Like, and I think the more I'm surrounding myself with creatives like yourself who is in music or filmmakers, it's like I can talk to you guys forever. You know, like if I was to have coffee with you, I can go on for like 4 hours just picking your brain, asking you about this movie or that movie, or what do you think about this director and what he did over there. And I think every time I meet someone like yourself or someone who's experienced director or filmmaker, it's a masterclass. And luckily I've had people like that in my life where I can sit down with them and talk to them about what I'm doing. I made another short film last year, which I haven't put out yet. It's called Brown Boy's Death. I finished the whole thing and then I showed it to one of my mentors, and then he advised me a few different things to change in it. And now I'm going to change it again. So it's again, like, I never set out myself to be a writer, director, or producer. It started out of necessity. And
it makes you better as an artist. Because I never expected to be a producer. I never expected to be a director. I never expected to be even a songwriter. And I think all those things made me better as an artist. And I think it makes you better as an artist as you keep exploring those things.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things I'm learning with my own series is I make sure that every episode is a masterclass. And it's like, it's not me giving the masterclass. I'm getting the masterclass, and it just happens to have cameras there. So it's the one thing that I'm learning the most is it's such an experience to feel like you can learn, and it's just so vast and keep learning and growing. And if I can capture that in anything artistic that I'm doing, then that is the biggest gratification I can have as an artist. You know, it's like you're kind of putting art out there. And I look at Scorsese and I look at even great actors. They look at their life's work as chapters in their story. And I think all artists look at every part of them being an artist is one story, and every piece of work is the chapter. And it's like, as long as your chapters align and connect, they keep evolving, you're doing your dharma. You're being the artist that you need to be. And it's like, I think it's commendable that you weren't getting auditions and you weren't getting the opportunities, and you decided, you know what, I need to make my own opportunities. I'm going to make my own screenplay. I'm going to direct it. I'm going to produce it. I'm going to write a song for it. That's not an easy task. And it's commendable that you just decided to take that on. What's next for you, or what is the thing that you learned the most from doing all of this in one project?
I would say, answering your first question, what's next is for me to finish my script for the feature film and get that going. And like I said, again, I'm being very optimistic here, but I would like to have this into a pre-production sometime this year. That's my goal with this film. Answering your second question, what I've learned by doing all these things is And I think I had this shortfall of not understanding one thing. Making music and making films is one thing, but selling it is a different thing.
Very true.
I think now, while I'm learning a lot about how to make a film and how to write a film, I have also started investing time into how to sell a film. Because at the end of the day, you want your film to be seen.
Yep.
If your film's not seen, I mean, the only way you can step up the ladder is by getting your film seen. Otherwise you're staying on the same the step of the ladder. So for me, that's quite a crucial part, especially while I'm trying to get into a feature film sort of things. Because short films were still more like a learning adventure for me. Feature film would be a whole new ball game. So any advice from you? I mean, Nikhil, because you know that I do look up to your advice.
I feel like I'm constantly learning too. It's like I think a lot of things when it comes to art are very similar. Like I was nervous to start this radio show 14 years ago or 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like I've met a lot of my heroes that I admire as artists because of this show. And it has taught me a lot of what makes us artists is we want to learn from the people that we admire, and then we want to work with the people that we admire. And if we get to have those conversations about what makes those artists, you know, tick or get inspired or work harder or dig deeper, then it improves our process. So I think anything that you do, whether it's a short film, I think a short film and a major full-length feature are very similar. But the only difference is more people and more money. And there's a lot more time and there's a lot more emotion and there are a lot more hiccups. But I mean, I think the process is very much the same. When I do a record, it's the same amount of like anguish and like, you don't know when it's going to be finished and you can't meet a deadline and it's going to be finished when it finishes itself. And I think that patience is just everything. It's like the greatest things I've ever accomplished have come from just being patient with the process. So if I can give you one piece of advice, be patient with the process. Don't give yourself a deadline that's not going to be able to be reached, because it's okay if you don't reach that deadline. As long as you keep chipping away at making the thing happen, that's all that matters. So I think that's the best thing I can tell you as an artist is like, you know what? Like pre-production this year would be fantastic. Even just getting your screenplay to the point where you're getting bids is fantastic. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you can get the crew and get the people and get the funds and get things moving, that's even better. You know what I mean? So it's hard. It's all of this is hard, but what makes it great is that you just shoot for the stars. That's what we all want to do, is just aim for the stars and see where it lands. And there's no telling where that will be, you know? So I think just having no sense of destination, you know, is the greatest thing you can give yourself.
Yeah. And I just had to ask this question that every networking event, somebody would ask this question. I just had to ask this question. Where do you get the funding from, Nikhil, for the films?
Oh, man. I think it comes from tax credits. It comes from investors. Yep. It comes from movie houses. It comes from people that want to get involved in films. It comes from old Hollywood money that's still around in places like Warner Brothers and you know, Sony and all of the major movie houses. But so many people are making movies in so many different ways. It's just kind of, you know, crazy. I think the biggest thing is just keep the dream alive and keep hustling, keep knocking on doors, and eventually the money will find you. And that's where you have to kind of put your head in your heart, you know? Well, where can people find you if they want to find you and fund your movie and support your vision as an artist?
Well, the easiest way to find me would be on my Instagram. And let me just tell you what my Instagram handle is. So I don't remember what it is, but it's ITS, it's underscore Utsav K, UTSAVK. Or you can email me on my email address. It is Utsav_Patel85@hotmail.com, or message me or call me on 310-505-1436.
Awesome. Well, there you have it. You have all the ways to contact Utsav. And on behalf of Utsav, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Stay inspired. Keep the dream alive. And that goes for you too, Utsav. Keep the dream alive. You made a cool short film. Turn it into a full-length feature. That's what Hollywood's all about, all right? Hollywood or Bollywood, doesn't matter. The dream is the same.
Thanks. Thanks, Nigel. Thanks for having me on the show.
No problem. Thanks for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. And on behalf of Utsav, myself, and Sam, we'll see you guys next week. Peace, love, and hair grease.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Korula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.